The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Christ, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" Jesus said in reply, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." As they were going off, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. "What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? Then what did you go out to see? Someone dressed in fine clothing? Those who wear fine clothing are in royal palaces. Then why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. And yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." The Gospel of the Lord. The Advent season is a season of waiting. It's a season of anticipation. It's a season of preparation. And intermingled with that are times of joy. Today is one of those times. You can tell by the singing of our choir here of the Alleluia. This is a season of joy. When we started Advent, there was only one candle lit. The light of the world was still far off. But now in the third week of Advent, the wreath is burning brighter and brighter because the light of the world is getting closer and closer. Today you can see that we lit a pink candle. Today, the third Sunday of Advent, is called Gaudete Sunday. The word comes from the entrance antiphon for today. Gaudete in Domino Semper, iterum dico gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. As Father Robert prayed in the collect this morning, O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, enable us, we pray, to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. So I repeat, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, today's gospel starts in a place that's hardly a place of joy. It's quite the opposite. John the Baptist is imprisoned in a dungeon in the palace of Herod Antipas. John has sat in prison with his ministry in a complete shambles. Some commentators will tell us that he had begun to have doubts about the identity of Jesus and about whether he was, in fact, the long-awaited Messiah. I'm not sure that I agree with that. John had leapt in his mother's womb at the presence of Mary with the unborn Jesus. His mother, Elizabeth, had undoubtedly told him the virginal conception of Jesus, which would have instantly brought to his mind Isaiah. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you this sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. And when Jesus came to him in the Jordan to be baptized, John himself said, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the sky and remain upon him. Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." highly unlikely that after those experiences, John would have doubts. More probably, it was John's disciples who were confused because John's ministry had ended in a way that was not in accordance with their expectations. And so they had gone to him for clarification. And in response, he sent them to Jesus to ask him personally. Remember, John always points to Jesus. It is Jesus' response that is the reason for our hope and the reason for our joy. He speaks to them about the blind regaining their sight and the lame walking, lepers being cleansed, the deaf hearing, and the dead being raised, and the poor having the good news proclaimed to them. For John's disciples, these were unmistakable signs. Signs of the Messiah. Because they remembered the words of Isaiah, which we ourselves heard this morning in the first reading. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared, then will the lame leap like a stag, and then will the tongue of the mute will sing. And not only that, they also recalled what came after that in the prophecy. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy, and they will meet with joy and gladness, sorrow and mourning will flee. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. We may be tempted to say, well, that's wonderful. Turned out that Jesus was the Messiah. And it was great that he went about Galilee and Judea, healing the blind and the lame and the lepers and the deaf, raising the dead. But how does that apply to me? I don't suffer from all of those things, maybe from any of them. The season of Advent is a season of preparation. Am I blind? Am I lame? Am I deaf? Am I dead? Each of us needs to step back during these remaining 2 weeks of Advent and reflect on our spiritual lives, our spiritual relationship with Jesus. Am I blind? Do I overlook my own sins? Do I not see them because I do not want to see them? Jesus wants to heal us of that blindness so that we can come to him and repent and he be fully healed. Am I lame? Have I for so long allowed my spiritual relationship with Jesus to atrophy? Do I pray every day? Or do I only pray 1 hour a week? Jesus wants you to come to him, to speak to him. He tells us, pray always. As St. Peter says, cast all your worries on him because he cares for you. Am I deaf? Do I not hear the voice of God in my conscience because I have for so long pretended that I'm deaf? Do I not want to hear what my conscience is telling me? Jesus wants to heal our deafness so we can hear him when he speaks to us his words of love, words that will keep us from harm and guide us to him. Am I dead? Is my relationship with God so degraded by indulgence in serious sins that it's dead? This is why confession is so powerful. And why we have a cause for great joy. No matter what we have done, Jesus longs to say to us exactly what he said to the son of the widow of Nain. Young man, I tell you, arise. Or to Jairus' daughter, Talitha Koum, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. This is what we look forward to with joy. Jesus reaches out to grasp us by the hand and raise us up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So what does John the Baptist think of the answer? About the blind regaining their sight, the lame walking, the deaf hearing, the dead being raised. For John, who's stuck in a dank and dirty prison, unable to see the Messiah for himself, it must have been nonetheless a cause of great rejoicing. His mission had been a success to point the way to the Messiah. And it must have warmed his heart in that cold dungeon when Jesus quoted the prophet Malachi, when he said, "This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you.' Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist." The Messiah had come. So rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Then Jesus added an interesting twist. "Amen, I say to you, among those born of women, there has been none greater than John the Baptist. Yet, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." What is it that we, who are in the kingdom of heaven, have that John the Baptist did not have in that prison? John had seen the justice of God. He had seen the holiness of God. He had not seen the full extent of the love of God. He had given us the message of God's justice. As we heard in the gospel last week, "Even now the axe lies at the root of the trees. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." And last week we also heard John tell us of the holiness of God, when he said, "The one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals." But John could not deliver the message of God's infinite love. That message had to come from the Messiah himself. And he delivered it to us from the cross. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." As we often pray after the consecration, "Save us, Savior of the world, for by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free." He has given us freedom. Freedom from our blindness, freedom from our lameness, freedom from our deafness, freedom even from the jaws of death. And we need only to repent and turn back to him, and we are saved. Advent is a time of preparation. Now is the time for us to repent of our sins and receive the healing touch of Jesus in confession. And we are saved. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Live, Jesus.